Oh, and don't forget to subscribe to Minority Minds Podcast and leave a 5-star rating on the show now. It helps move the podcast up in the algorithm and brings in more listeners, just like you. So let's keep growing the fan, whether it's on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever you prefer to listen to us. And as an added bonus, on Anchor, you can leave us comments, questions, and voice messages so you can be part of the show too. Thank y'all. And now let's enjoy the show. Love.
Minority Minds Podcast.
I'm like, all right, well.
That's your problem, man. You should never
get sign that paperwork up there. Take your box and get the fuck on up out of here. Well, such and such going to have to come sign for this fucking self. Get out.
And we back. Frio is back. And Minority Minds are back. Chico here.
Chico.
You all right?
Godfather here.
Mr. Chico Sting.
And oh, y'all hear him. Oh. Uncle Frio's back. We are the Minds, man. How y'all doing?
I'm tired of shit.
Okay.
Same. You know?
I'm tired from all the mac and cheese I've been eating all weekend, son.
You just constipated. That's what it is.
God, he got the penoitis.
He got mud butt.
I done used the bathroom 3-4 times last night.
Stop eating all that cheese.
You lucky because, you know, I get the reverse effect when I eat a lot of cheese.
What you got?
I get backed up.
Ugh. Oh, God. Oh, you get that clog.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Then you be shitting bricks, them joints like Craig Father.
Oh, man.
Big splashes.
That's so nasty.
The one that leaves the stains in the toilet.
In that joint. Get that over there.
Yeah. Like, uh-oh.
I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
But no, how was your weekend, man?
Saturday was a long ass day and very enlightening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead. What happened to your Saturday?
You can go first since you're the topic of conversation.
Right.
Maybe he should go last.
That's what I'm saying. That's,
I mean, it all blends in together. So we could just piece it all together.
Uh huh.
So go ahead. You should start because you should tell the whole story leading up into Saturday.
The whole story. So I met this girl through social media. Like all the way back. Met her through social media. Then we cooled it. A year later, we about to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then past weekend had us a little gender reveal, and it's a girl, fam.
It's what you wanted. You know, see, you really don't.
He ate the spaghetti.
What the fuck does that mean?
You a tramp.
Yeah, I'm a girl dad. Yeah, well, I don't know if y'all saw the pictures. Nah. It was like, you know, Glenn took the pictures.
Yeah.
So he snapped like snap.
He did the shuttle joint.
So he's going through it like, all right, I seen it when I'm like going up to him and like hugging him, and mm-hmm. I can see my eyes like welling up, tearing up.
Like you was crying in the park in the video. Everybody said that you was crying. Everybody.
We're growing out here. Fuck all that.
It's okay. But you know, it's okay. But what's not okay is you not owning it.
I own this one. Mm. I own this one. All right.
I see that. So, I was mad I had to watch it on freaking FaceTime because of my damn job.
You know what I was mad about?
What?
It wasn't no confetti in my little joint.
What happened?
It popped open, but nothing came out.
My man shot blanks.
Right. Man. Shooting blanks out here, fam.
Story of my life.
Pretty terrible.
Hey, it is what it is. I'm Troy Ave out here and I'm still.
So yeah, I have a girl, you know, and it was very, very surreal, like exciting at the same time that I get to break the curse of, well, not the curse, but
the streak.
The streak of our family having boys.
All boys.
All boys.
Why she be the tallest?
Fact. Yeah, she gonna she be like 6'2".
Damn, Lisa Leslie. Hey, exactly. Look, if she gonna play basketball, just go ahead and send her overseas.
Facts, because life would be so much easier for her.
Mm-hmm. Don't they get paid more?
Yep. Yeah. Damn. They paid WNBA ladies not to play in the WNBA for a season.
Yeah. Like, we definitely...
effing up here?
Mm-hmm. Nah. Well, yeah, but I was going to say, like, some of us are, like, touching the same salaries as people that's in the WNBA.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, we really are. No,
like, dead ass.
They're that low?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and they, like... even after the bump up type shit, uh-huh, like people was in the WNBA making like $40,000.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's sad.
So they look forward to the off season, mm-hmm, so that they could go play overseas.
Hey, they basically play all year round, mm-hmm, instead of like the NBA guys can take off like 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like they like are always playing. It's right. Actually amazing that they don't get hurt more.
Exactly, yeah. And some of them be pregnant, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They get pregnant, that's a whole season gone.
Damn.
Sometimes more.
Yeah.
And then they get treated bad because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, like, no, seriously, like, some, like, I can't remember who it was. One of them was talking about how, like, the owner was trying to, like, force her, like, trying to rush her back to playing after right. having a baby.
You can't do that.
Exactly. He was like, all right, you drop that joint. Come on. Lace up your sneakers. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Doc, cut that cord. We got a playoff game here. Like, she's still bleeding. They always bleed.
Crazy.
But no, everybody, well, not everybody. Like, most of her family came through, except for her twin sister.
She has a twin?
Yeah, she's a twin.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you learn.
Oh shit!
I feel like I've heard about that before, but then at the same time, it was.
Are they identical?
Yeah, identical twins. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, her family came through. Most of my family came through, except for my cousins. That the other ones that's having kids were doing the same month, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. What y'all think about the?
Man, that setup was fire. I mean, I haven't been to Glenn's house in a long time.
Ever.
So, no, I'm saying, but
that
I've been.
That was my first time, yeah.
Yeah, but I've been there. I was like, okay, he didn't put in some work in his house to try and look fire. I was like, oh, cool, he even had a room. But like, oh, there's money over here.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the little power washing, the sanding, the painting. That was strenuous on my back.
He used you for manual labor.
Indentured servant, you get a free gender reveal.
You get a free gender reveal.
I mean, nah, that little pink confetti job I did spray the whole neighborhood.
I had to pick that shit up the next day.
After it rained.
Yeah.
There's no way that you got all of that up.
Nah, hell nah.
Mm-hmm. You got as much as you could though.
Yeah, exactly.
It was great. It's great to see all your family. I haven't seen Gerald in a long time.
Right.
Gerald is so cool.
Yeah.
He's so funny. He's always smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Like typical Filipino.
Exactly. Yeah, he looking younger with his haircut too.
Facts.
Like, damn, you got hair now. And, oh.
You know, honestly, outside of the gender reveal, the highlight of the night was your brother telling Patrick's story. I don't know if you heard. Well, you was probably asleep.
I was gone?
I think you was down back with Caleb, but he like told the story. I don't want to put it out there, it was like, I didn't know this stuff, so it was like, wow, like, that man, there's a reason why you like him.
You can say a little bit as long as you don't, you know what I mean?
He explained a lot,
mm-hmm, and it cleared a lot up.
Because where'd he come from, basically, and he basically broke down origins of everything he's been through and how he's still positive after all that is mind-boggling.
For the listeners, Pat is my other, he's my younger brother and he's my half brother, but
that looks like my older brother.
Facts.
Which is like the craziest shit ever.
I seen the picture when me showed me your brother, like, wait a minute.
What is going
even
on?
Even when he said it. Exactly, like I told him, I was like, hey, yo, you look just like my brother. He was like, no, I don't. I'm like, look. He said, oh, shit.
But that explains why, you know, he's cool as hell.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, wow, Pat.
Oh, and shouts to him too. I don't know if he wants me to. He probably don't even listen, but shout outs to him. He graduated.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he graduated.
Congrats. What was he in school for?
I think it was like computer engineer or something like that.
Oh shit, I'm about to go borrow money from Patty.
About to say, he bagged up.
Yeah, and then also he said he's gonna get married in December.
Oh wow.
The sad part is I can't go.
Why?
I have a child.
Where's he getting married, in the Philippines?
Yeah, he's going home.
Damn.
And he wanted me to be the best man too. Like that.
Ain't that a bitch?
Tell him push it back a couple months.
Right.
Congrats, Pat. Yeah,
congrats. I didn't know that.
That's fire, man.
Damn.
But you know what, like the conversations we had when we all went inside, mm-hmm. was like the best part. Like I didn't even realize how late it was. I was supposed to go to work on Sunday. Didn't happen.
That was the first time over there, right? Mm-hmm. So that was basically like your kind of first interaction with my brother and his wife.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember coming over here when they was
right.
But
yeah, they was like, yo, Meech is fucking hilarious. Like,
yeah.
They love you. They love your energy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and Beast is Beast. Always sleeping.
Always sleep.
He took a whole nap.
How you take exactly. a whole fat nap after eating?
Yo.
He ate like 5 plates.
Yeah. He did. Beast, you got to work on that. Like,
it's not even that. You 6'5 on a small ass twin couch.
Took his shoes off and was comfortable.
Everything.
I was so confused. I was like, he looked like a whole homeless kid just popped up at the joint.
Just super random, tall, African guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, he came, he ate, he slept.
And then he left.
And then he asked for more rice.
Yes.
Well, what was that movie? Like on...
Half Baked.
And Next Day Air.
Yeah. He's like, man, I thought that motherfucker was dead. But, so y'all want to talk about just like, well, I've known Glenn was like that for a while. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously since I've been around longer,
mm-hmm.
but like the encouragement was great. Like he was encouraging us on the show. You know, he was like, you guys are doing a good thing. He told us what we already know, like, you know, be more, what do you say? Be more organized.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, I agree. You know what I'm saying? It was just a great time getting to talk to him again.
Right.
And his wife is like.
I haven't talked to him in years. He didn't realize all the stuff that he used to give me.
And Rob took his porn.
He'll never let that
He'll
go.
He'll never so. Let that down.
He's like, what happened to Rapper?
Then stole my porn. Brought up like 5 times.
Yeah, because he was asking around, like, okay, was, you know, how is Rich?
Yeah,
he told him about that, and all of a sudden he's like, "How's the rapper? You know, he stole my porn."
He's like, Beast eats all the food, and Rob stole the porn.
Yeah, but the other thing too is like, for me, I haven't seen like. It was my first time seeing Farley in a long time and his wife.
Right.
Yeah, I miss them, but
yeah.
So
I told her our story of how when I first met Farley, I used to try to fight him every day.
She was dying.
So she was like, "Wait, what? Like, you're serious?" I was like, "He was like, yeah, he tried to fight me every day." She was like, "So how y'all friends?"
Should have said, man, Ghostface got his house shot up by Raekwon. They friends.
Exactly.
This wasn't even that bad. Oh, man. So I guess we can go lead into the topic, which is the impact of having an older sibling to kind of, you know, talk to and stuff like that. I don't mm-hmm. really, I have it, but I don't because me and my sister just don't we're not on that level. I end up being the person who has to be more of the mentor, but like y'all, mm-hmm. y'all are younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what is that impact like for y'all? Go ahead, Meech, you can go first.
Well, I would say for me, it's let's see, how can I put, like, everybody's older sibling isn't positive or productive or mm-hmm. a good example. So mm-hmm. like, that's one thing that we have to get out there first. So, like, I feel like, luckily, me and Gail do have, like, older siblings who are doing the right things, or actually are people to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps a lot, because there are certain things that, growing up, you may not be comfortable talking to, like, your father about, as far as different things of, like, growing up, going through puberty, like, losing virginity, stuff like that. So, like, you have that person that you can, like, your older sibling is like your supervisor, and your parent is like the boss.
Right.
So, like, you go to the supervisor with about shit that you wouldn't necessarily go to the boss about.
Right. Yeah.
But you still don't tell that motherfucker everything either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cause they'll blackmail you. So, but yeah, like I said, that's just how I feel about having like an older sibling.
All right, let me break it down this way, because as Glenn explained to y'all, like, was it Saturday? Me, like, we weren't all the siblings weren't close.
Yeah,
like, you know, before it wasn't until Pat got here.
Yeah,
and like until we knew of Pat.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we found that out, we just started kicking it like every weekend, just hanging out, you know, drinking and shit.
Yeah,
and that's how you I guess you start a bond with your older brothers. Well, for me, that's how we bonded, every weekend just hanging out. That was before their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just, you know, when you drunk, you just be out there telling stories.
Yeah.
Emotions telling
and
stories
that,
and all that shit. I can remember Gerald. Well, like, we was all just drunk for some reason. Well, you know, it's the weekend. So we just drunk. And
that's a great reason.
That is a great reason. We up in Glenn's old joint in Rockville. And he just, you know, he just talking about, like, oh, I love my brothers and all that.
Yes.
All of that. You know how Gerald is.
Like, mm-hmm. Get emotional when he's drunk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I'm like that too a little bit.
I think you might be.
You know, I don't think I've ever been drunk around Gail, or Gail drunk around.
No, there's levels. There's levels of.
No, Gail gets around his brothers. He gets way more
dumb drunk, like.
It's almost like, it's
I
like,
can't
what
move.
The hell?
Yeah. They got videos of me when I was like 16, drunk off Henny. And I, they
getting
was
carried.
Getting carried into the house. Like, Yeah, so the impact of my brother, like Glenn and Gerald, is very, I would say, heavy. Like, mm-hmm. It's a big impact.
Yeah.
Like, there's somebody they're like a goal for me to strive to.
Yeah.
Like, you see how he is. Like, mm-hmm. He's all set up with a nice house.
Yeah.
With a nice family. Like, he looks like he's living well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he's not comfortable with it. Yeah. He still wants to do more.
And that's the thing. Like, like you said, he's not comfortable. He wants more. And he keeps telling me that every time I'm there.
Yeah.
He wants me to do better. Like, come on, do something. Like, you know you don't want to do that shit forever. Talking about this dumbass job I got, so mm-hmm. Like, he wants the best for me.
Yeah. And I like, it's the same thing here. Like, as you know, my brother has his business that he's working on.
Shout out
First Class Auto Care. But like, yeah, like, all the time, like, he's the dreamer. I don't think that I don't dream as big as him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess you can't really just necessarily call it a dream, but because mm-hmm. he's like doing it. But like, he just always talks about like getting a shop or doing this and doing that. Like, whenever we see like open spaces, he just be like, I wish we had something like that closer to home, so I could just like set up some days and people could just come through. And like, I mean, it's a lot. And he pushes me to like do more, because he tells me all the time, like basically the same thing that your brother was telling me, my brother tells me all the time. Like, as far as like, you got like skills to do a lot of different things, but you just
use it. You gotta use it.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing I know Glenn said to Meech was, he was like, you might need somebody to be your partner, mm-hmm. to kind of focus your energy.
What, like?
Like, because it's like, he's so, you know, he was talking about like stuff that happens, like if something bad happens, he usually shuts down from whatever he was doing, like the
right.
You know, cooking thing. And he's like, maybe you need somebody with you to help focus that. That way you don't always feel like you're taking all the blame and somebody could be there to like to support, because you know, sometimes it's hard. Meech, you know, Meech ain't got the attention span, like for real. So he kind of goes in and out. He floats in and out of stuff. Maybe he can get somebody that partners with him to, he's doing the work and the other person's also doing the work, but he's also helping him, like, because Meech can be indecisive to make those decisions that Meech can't make. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I could see D'Angelo saying that too. It was kind of like crazy how similar D'Angelo and Glenn are.
Yeah.
Like, no, like so, D'Angelo's a little, they both are joke artists. They joke all the time. They clown you, but it's like, there's always something in there.
Right.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. It was like, blow my mind. And the fact that, like, this is a sidebar, but the fact that we all went to fucking Parkdale.
Damn. We all went to Parkdale.
It's like, it goes back to what we said before. Parkdale be doing shit.
Right.
And people don't even realize it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, me not being the, I am the older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the closest relationship with my brothers. We just, we're close, but we're not like, you know, they do their thing. I support, I give advice, but I don't like necessarily try to hover.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk when we need to talk and stuff like that. I'm just, it's how I am. I'm more of an isolated person. But like, sometimes I did wish that I had that older sibling. Like you guys, I get a little envious.
Right.
Because I did want to have somebody to push me, because I didn't always have somebody to push me. I kind of had to figure it out, make the mistake. And so my brothers would make the mistake and do, you know, little shit here and there. Like, you know, with my sister being 8 years older than me, it was kind of hard because we didn't always connect, because she was always at a different stage in her life
than where I was at.
So, like,
And I think that, I mean, not to speak for you, but I would say that the other thing, too, that probably made things a little different was that you have an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a little bit different because you're not going to feel like y'all can have a connection, but a lot of things are different. Like I'm, other ways that my brother pushed me without even doing anything was just by like us doing stuff as far as like playing sports.
Yeah.
Like, you're not about to keep just whooping my ass like this.
Yeah, no,
like
sure.
Sports, video games, like everything. So it's just like, it makes you want to like do better. Right. So it's not a jealousy or a unhealthy competition, but it's like you always compete, but at the end of the day you uplift each other as well.
I definitely didn't have that. And like, my love for sports was I don't even know how I even got to sports like that, because it didn't hit my brothers at all. None of them, I don't think any of them could do anything. But like, you know, they all have their different interests. But one thing that I always try to do was support that for them. Like, my brother, Jacques, loves cars.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacques, you know, except for that one time he was on a go-kart, he was on a dirt bike and my father told him not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, outside of that, it's like, I always support him. I mean, he's in the car club, he does his thing, he grinds hard, he doesn't, you know, really do too much outside of that. And Gabby, just when he started like really getting good with music, I was like, keep going. Like, just keep going. Like, I don't care. Like, sometimes, you know, you get negative reinforcement from your parents. I used to be like, look, if that's what you want to do, you can do it. So, you know, and then like, you know, my parents used to try to force him in the car. I say, listen, when he's ready, he'll go.
I think that's a foreign parent type of thing.
Yeah, definitely it is. And like, you know, I'm like, no, when he's ready, he's going to go. I talk to him. And I, you know, we have conversations about stuff, and he'll tell me he was scared. Sometimes I had to be real strict with him. Like, look, don't tell me you're scared to do nothing. If you want to do it, you go do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, oh man, I'm scared. No, we don't have time to be scared.
Right.
Like, that's, yeah, it's a natural emotion, but we have to overcome it. So my brother actually started going to college. He started a club at PG.
Mm.
Like, he's the president of a club in PG. And like, you know, nobody would have never thought that Gabby, who everybody always thought that never took anything serious, always played around, would be leading a club. But I mean, I've seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you do right things, they always follow. That's how I feel.
Facts. there is this one impact that I don't think I mentioned.
What's that?
With Glenn, like you slightly talked about what he didn't know what he gave you in terms of shoes.
Yeah.
So you know, he definitely impacted my high school, like I guess career, whatever you call it.
High school life.
High school life.
Yeah.
With the, you know, we used to wear the same size. He used to always get the new shit, so he let me rock his shit. I don't want to have to look all busted in high school.
Oh man, I wish. Yeah. Oh, that's a big wish.
That
I
was
wish.
A big Ooh. Blessing, big impact for me, because I remember him telling stories when he first came here. You know, he's 15, goes straight to high school, a foreign fob.
Yeah.
With the bowl cut, like, you know, skinny high jeans before they was, like, you know, cool.
Yeah.
So, and park girls not forgiving.
Yeah, hell no. I remember walking through. I thought I was the shit. Had the velour suit, Sean John, like, ninth grade freshman. Like, oh, yeah, I'm killing shit. Get my ass clowned as soon as I walk past the hallway.
Oh, the second hallway.
Yeah, the second hallway. Geez. Yeah, this, you know, the second hallway.
Yeah, the Riverdale hallway. Yeah. Yeah, they got me too.
Yeah.
But, hey, like, I didn't have that. I had to figure it out. That's why I told him, like, I was telling him, I was like, that's why I started working. It's like, I'm not going to be able to get nothing. And I'm the second oldest, and I got all these little younger siblings. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to be nothing. So I had to start grinding it out, start getting a job, working. Figure out just how to get stuff. I mean, I figured out the clothing in high school. Get a bunch of white tees and black tees, some jeans,
and
buy two pairs of shoes a year.
That's all you needed.
That's all you need. That's the only thing that kept us going.
Nike boots.
I never wore Nike boots.
I'm about to say, I had Nike boots maybe like 1 year, but my Nike boots didn't look like everybody else's Nike boots because I didn't wear adult size shoes. I hated it. Because back then, they did, I think, like 7.5 with the smallest that.
Yeah, that was like the youth size, right?
Yeah. Like 7.5. Like some shoes, they bought them out, 7.5 would be considered men. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, men started at 8.
Right.
So, but I was only wearing, like when I first came to, when I first went to Parkdale, I probably was still wearing like a 7. And then, like, end of ninth grade was like 7.5, 8. 10th grade,
I wish.
I was wearing like an 8, 8.5.
Mm.
Stayed at 8, 8.5 all the way up until,
like, college.
I was like, I was like 24. Then I grew to a 9. Then I wait till I get 30 and I'm 9.5, 10. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Your foot just getting fatter. Right. That's all that is.
Bro, it's longer too.
Pause.
Told you. You said it.
So any other gems y'all had
it's not really a gem, it's kind of unfortunate, just the whole Chris situation, like when we was talking about like all that stuff. Just,
it's
like I wish that, you know, he could do better and kind of step away from that bullshit,
right?
But, you know, that's up to him. He's gotta want that for himself. Just the vibe, the whole vibe was great.
Right.
And I have to say this, Glenn's wife, when he told us the story of how they got together and how she pushed him to get from working for your father to like actually pushing to get better jobs and keep doing better. I was like, you know when you meet somebody and you kind of notice something in them, like, she's not that big of a person. Like, she's very, you know, she's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But her personality is like, whoa. Like, I was like, wow. Like,
yeah, she's big personality.
Really big personality. And it's like, I can see why he kept chasing.
Yeah.
And the story about him getting high and calling her was like the fucking funniest thing ever.
Yeah. But like, it's just like I said, like, talking to, because even Kayla's mom, like, she said a lot of things to me, and that that was my first time ever meeting her too.
Right.
So.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I was actually surprised. I walked past. I was like, "Who's this?" She's like, "I'm Kayla's mom." I was like, "Oh shit!" I was like, "I did not expect. I thought she was Puerto Rican."
No, her father Puerto Rican.
Yeah. It kind of blew my mind. Yeah. I was like, "That's not what I expected."
I heard her talking inside the house before she introduced herself, but you know, certain words will let you know, like, oh, know who that is.
But nah, she cool as shit.
Yeah, she real cool and real animated. I like her her energy. She's like
yeah,
a ball of energy and stuff. Yeah. That was her father that came later, right?
Yeah, yeah, he came with somebody else.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, that was his, I guess, current. I guess, I don't know how to say it. Yeah, wife,
situation.
Whatever.
Yeah. Wife, I guess, I don't know.
Entanglement.
Yeah. So, <nah. laughs> and then that was their daughter, so her sister also.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was like, you know, the reason why I came late, because initially I wasn't about to come because I thought the owner was mad that I switched days.
Right.
Or switched time slots or whatever. But he didn't really care. But he wanted me to have a pre-shift meeting with the security staff for the night. So not knowing that they changed their times, because two of them don't work for us. They work for another person. And one works for me. So she was running late.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, let me just call these. I called each and every one of them and gave them a rundown. I said, yeah, I need y'all to be here. Blah, 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 you know what I'm saying? Then I jumped in the car so fast. I was going to go home and change.
Right.
I said, nah, fuck it.
Nah, fuck that. No, you good, man. Yeah, I appreciate it very much.
I was speeding like shit.
Like, everyone who came through appreciate it. Like, it's very heartwarming to me. So,
yeah. And you know what else? Why aren't you more open to your, I'm going to ask you this on the podcast. Why are you not more open to, like, show your personality towards your brother and your sister-in-law?
I don't know. I never, even though we did, you know, we're bonding, like, on the weekends with them and all mm-hmm. that stuff, I show bits and pieces there, but it just never was consistent, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we all know you quiet, but, you know, like, it's like she genuinely wants to see your personality. She was so surprised at how much you talk. She mm-hmm. was even, you know, she talked about the podcast, and she was like, I didn't know he talked like that and all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I was going to say.
I mean, I feel like we kind of, we me and you are very big on kind of like forcing it out of Gil.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Facts.
Yeah, but for me, I think it's like I have kind of like different personalities. Like, you know, I turn it on and off with who I'm with. What they mm-hmm. call? What they call that? Code switching?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think, well, I told her, I think, I was like, I think you just revert back to being a little brother when you're around them.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because,
yeah.
You know, because, like, you know, when you're a little kid and you see, like, watching your brother and his friends, you kind of just sitting there listening and laughing.
That's definitely me when I was with them and they were just hanging around here.
Yeah.
That's how I got my nickname.
Yeah.
They used to just see me here just chilling. And like, hey, it's fucking Ian.
I don't get where the Ian came from, though.
I think, you know, from Gail Bryan. Gail Bryan is my first name.
Yeah.
So, Ian, the end of it.
Oh, makes sense. Because I was like, I never understood. I was like, who the fuck is Ian? But it makes sense. Makes sense. I mean, how was you around your brothers, Meech, and his friends? Were you? I figure you probably was in there trying to fight everybody.
Yep. I was literally like, I honestly, my problem sometimes is turning it off. Yeah. I'm literally the same, like,
everywhere.
I didn't do, like, with my father uh-huh. when I used to go places with him, like, with my brother, like, family, with my mother, going places with her, me and her friends, like, mm-hmm. Like just one day, my mom took me to a birthday party
mm-hmm.
and I ended up, this is when, what was that? The Usher song where he got beat up by Mr. Biggs in the video. What song was that?
Usher or R. Kelly?
Usher.
Damn, Mr. Biggs beat up Usher too.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Damn,
was it the Nice and Quiet joint? What's the name of that song?
Nice and Slow.
Nice and Slow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goodness, that's a long time.
That's like, a long ass time.
Yeah, I was a kid, and I literally like found a microphone and put on a concert and performed and sung that whole song at a birthday party. That they was like it just started. I don't even know how it started for real. I just started, like, I think maybe I heard this, like, the song came on the radio
mm-hmm.
and I saw the mic and I just started singing the joint and it was like a little living room area. I'm like just walking back and forth singing the song.
Stage presence.
Right. Exactly, right? And then, like, everybody was like, who the fuck kid is that?
Your mom was a bird. Like,
no, she wasn't.
Little nigga, man, get your ass off the stage.
She was the main one.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Y'all already know my mother wanted me to be a stripper.
Whoa. I don't. Tell the story. Hold up.
So she went to a bachelorette party with her girls, and she saw how much money they was like throwing at the strippers. Mm. So she, like, literally, once I was like 9 years old, she started trying to like teach me how to like dance and work my body. Yeah.
That's wow.
Yeah. Okay. So okay. All right.
That was my opportunity there. So she was like cheering me on. You know what I'm saying?
Just think it was dope.
And you know,
it was
back
Magic
then,
Mike before Magic. All the Magic
back
Beach.
Then I was skinny too, so I was
doing splits.
Yep. Pulling my shirt up, doing the little belly roll joint and everything.
Nigga look and like was still Drew singing. Hill video.
Right.
Yeah. Putting hot candle wax on his chest.
But yeah, so I've always been like the same person. First time meeting people. Like,
that's how I am at work. I be like the new employees. I just come up, don't act like I've been known them. Like, what's up, fam? You good? I don't know. I don't be wanting to know their names, but I treat them like they've been here. And they be mm-hmm. like, dang, he Ford. And then by the time they realize I'm the best motherfucker that's in there, it's already too late. You done got fired.
Should've listened.
Exactly.
What else we got?
Damn. That beer was actually pretty good.
Which one?
The orange one.
Oh, the Shock Top.
Shock Top.
Yeah. It was a good social beer.
Yeah.
Whoever mentioned the tequila was horrible. What was it, you? The white one? Or the
white Reposado. Not the Reposado.
The Blanco.
The Blanco.
That joint was horrible.
Yeah, the Reposado was better.
Yeah. Who said it was better?
Chris said the Blanco because Chris got bad taste buds.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't be taking advice from a nigga that cooks his steak all the way through.
With a fork. Yeah. Poking the joint, pushing all the juice out. But but that's the one when I was going, it was like, that's the one that everybody was like, get that one. I was just like, I like the one we just had.
Yeah,
but if that's the one y'all want, that's the one I'll bring back. And
you can't have foreigners with the dark joint.
That joint real loud gave me heartburn.
The Blanco?
Yeah. I kept knocking them back, but the next later on that
them
night,
shots was
them joints was hurting.
I ain't gonna lie. I was holding farts the whole time. From one to three.
He had the whiskey shit.
I was like, oh, God. Man, when I went in the car, boy.
You let loose.
Boy, I had to roll the window down.
Them joints the worst, too. Them tequila shits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I had that in Cancun.
Jesus.
So I was like, no, I'm not. Even though it's all inclusive, I'm not eating shit today.
Might have helped it.
Right. Exactly. Put something, mix something with it. Eat some bread.
God.
But
what else we got?
Joe Budden has vindicated me on how I felt about him over all these years. Gil, can you please explain?
So with the current news, you know, regarding Joe's Budden, the podcast.
Pump it up.
Yep. You know, he fired his co-hosts of 6 or 7 years. From his, you know, his podcast.
Yeah, Rory and
Rory and Maul. Like, those are the reasons I listen to it because those two was funny. Mm-hmm. So, they all right. Let me hit the backstory. So, in March, they suddenly was not on the episodes. Apparently, they had some arguments behind the scenes, and they tried to explain it. I think last month. Yeah, last month they tried to explain it. They came back. They call about transparency, faking we're about to explain everything. I was mad because I ain't hear shit about it. Okay, y'all didn't explain shit. So last week, we expecting them to come back because they had a so-called vacation. They did not come back. Joe Budden went on a 3-hour rant talking about y'all don't own none of this. I own this. Y'all have nothing to do. It's none of your business. And he fired him on the spot, on air. So,
what kind of shit is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, my thing is, was he right or wrong in saying they have nothing to do with this, considering it's the Joe Budden podcast?
I mean, I get that, but he's...
I mean,
Go ahead. No, no, go ahead.
I would say it's similar to like how it was called, like a lot of the bands back in the day were like this person and the band or that person mm-hmm. and the band. Like, yeah, you're the main person, but without them, it's not the same.
Exactly. That was my whole stance on it. I was siding with Rory and Maul. Like, yo, you wasn't popping until we was there. Like, we helped you build the shit.
It made the show, like, more dynamic because it brought something else. So it broadened the audience.
Exactly. Because
I would have never listened. I mean, I never did.
Right.
I would see, like, when people would repost, like, little snippets from the podcast on, like, social media. And it was never him. But
yeah, it was.
I never really watched none or paid attention to none of the episodes. But it's just like, I never cared about you even as a rapper. So hearing him talk about certain stuff is just like the same reason why I can't watch First Take when they bring Kendrick Perkins on. It's like, you talk like Kendrick Perkins really get up there, and I ain't even gonna go as high as like he play like Shaq. Like, he go up that joint and play like, act like he play like
Otis Thorpe.
Yeah, right. or like Steven Adams. Like, right. You won't even give like Rudy Gobert numbers, nothing. Like,
he was getting posterized every time.
You and
nuts in his face.
You and JaVale McGee were always Shaq and the Fool.
Shaq and the Fool legends.
Yeah, like they was.
Didn't he make the Hall of Fame?
Exactly. Yeah, so it's just like, it's just things like that where it's like I've never really cared for like him, even with like seeing the way that he used to act on Love and Hip Hop. I was just like, I never cared for his.
He always seemed like the type of dude that I'll piss you off and then play victim.
That's
spot on.
And I feel like I said that.
No, go ahead. Say you was a vindicated. Go ahead, let him
because because I've said like when we first started the pod, we used to always talk about, oh, Rory Maul. No, I used to be like, Joe Budden is an asshole. Yeah. Oh yeah, you know a certain member in our group. He's vindicated me too. used to always try to defend him, but it's like, bro, like that shit ain't cool.
Right.
Every time is an issue, is always what the other person did, not what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, bro, like nigga, own your shit. He don't even own his own shit.
Right.
So now you know those supposed to be his boys, right?
Yeah.
Like that's his man. Like outside of the podcast.
Yeah, they friends outside of it too.
So
so
all of a sudden they started getting a little bit of fame.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, oh, no, it's my show.
Yeah. The background around that is the Rory and Maul asked for the accounting, you know.
Yeah.
Because apparently some accounting was fucked up. It's 400,000 mistake. Like that's a big ass mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since then, they've been asking for accounting, and he's apparently Joe was doing like, yo, y'all don't do this, blah blah blah. I own this shit, blah blah. You know, making.
Nah, if I work for you, if there's a discrepancy in my pay,
yeah,
I have every right to ask for the books.
Exactly, and they have percentage based contract, meaning whatever the business makes, they have a percentage of that, not just a flat salary type shit.
Yeah.
So
you're making all this money, and then now I was
making this little shit.
Boy, talk about somebody to fuck them shit, his shit up.
Yeah, he's known to fuck up a bag in relationships too. So.
Yeah, well, somebody had posted online to say he rents mansions and brings distressed Dominicans in there. I was like, Jesus, that's like spot on.
Yeah,
nah, but I'm just not. I've never really been a fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I always go back to saying this. I'm never wrong. Because it's a judge of character. And he always was out for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he called, like, even if they were still cool, he probably would always said, I put y'all on. Instead of, hey, these my boys, they dope, and this is why they on.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could have been on it, it could have been a dud.
Yeah.
But no, like, your show really was, like, one of the top joints. For you to do, like, you did your own boys like that. That's crazy. Like, I'd never do that. And like, just like we make decisions on this group based on everybody making a decision, not one person.
Right.
And you know, we're not here to do that shit. That's way out of the question, because at the end of the day, whether the business succeeds or fails, we still friends at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like that's always the thing where it comes down to like finances. I don't understand how like people really do let that come in between people. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, just be honest for real.
Exactly.
That's all you
because
need.
Because if we were all like started to like receive monetary value for our show,
mm-hmm.
and I'm straight, but you're going through something, take a little more. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, cause we're doing it like to all help each other.
All
like,
win.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't.
It's like
they
it's
don't
like
have that mindset.
They get to that level and just don't want fucking shares. It's the same as like no, like bullshit.
It's just greed.
Yeah, thing. It's like it's but, like the but same
like
as
I said, uh-huh. like he could honestly have something else going on where like he's trying to skim them because he has his own financial right. issue trying to be Joe Budden. Mm-hmm. But it's like if that's going on, just say something.
Be forthright.
And if they really yeah. like if they really your boys, they're gonna be like, all right. Like
handle that.
I can stay right here. Yeah. But if you told me one thing and then when I come to you about it, now you wanna be like, oh well, it's my show, this and that, da 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 da. I could do this, I could do that. Like they could literally like start their own.
Yeah, but you know how they say like money don't change you, it just makes you
it shows who you are. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if we were to like get to that level and get paid to that level, I don't know how y'all perceive of me, but I know like if I do have some money, I'm more than willing to give it up.
But that's because when we didn't have nothing at the age of 19 and 20 and 21, mm-hmm. and we wanted to go to IHOP and you knew that I was short, you looked out.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when Mitch was short, we looked out.
Right.
It's always been like that because that's the relationship we had. It's never been we look out and the next time, man, I looked out for you. We've right. never done that.
Exactly. Like, it's usually always like, oh, nah, I ain't going to go because I ain't got it. We like, man, right. get the fuck
get
in the car.
Get your ass
like,
in.
You don't bring your ass
I mean, look, like, even like as much as like, you know, like, we've had Beast, we've had Rob, mm-hmm. it's been Chris, whatever. We you know, the you drag time, your friend along because yeah. you're supposed to make sure that he's going to be good.
Right.
The only time that we would get upset is if you didn't say something. Because it's like, then we took it as like, damn, like, yeah. you knew that we would get you.
Right.
But so like, even... why were you so afraid to like exactly. just tell us?
Exactly. Like, I mean, even haircuts, movies, whatever. Like,
anything.
You know, I was short on rent once and I was in a crisis. I made two calls
mm-hmm.
and I had it.
Yeah.
And I made sure I gave, you know, sometimes you don't even expect it back in the monetary way. Yeah. Like, hey, I need you to do this. Bet, I got you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, like there's so many things we've done. Like, we don't, real friends don't hold things over each other's heads.
Right. Mm-hmm. But let me get to this one. Because you did say, you mentioned I was an enabler, right?
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So how is it enabling if,
like, no, but so here's the thing.
If I'm helping out my mans.
No. But here's the thing. It's a level to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody is keep putting themselves in the same situation and you keep bailing them out,
mm-hmm.
then that's a whole different thing than, you know, he need this and he good. Like, if he asks once or twice because he fucked up, then that makes sense.
Right.
But if it's every 2 months, hey, mm-hmm. you got this. Hey, you got this.
Yeah, but
and then for example, he would not go to work or something because he wanted to do this.
Right.
But we didn't like. There's nothing wrong with helping, but you gotta go back and be like, "Hey, bro, I'm not doing this again because you chose to do this."
Oh so no, I've done that plenty of times.
Yeah, I know, but we wouldn't know that because we're on the outside.
Right.
But from our point of view, because it was like, hey, you got this. I ain't got this. I ain't got this.
Right, right.
You're like, come on, bro.
No. Trust me. I've done that plenty of times where I had to say, like, no, I ain't got it.
Yeah.
Like, even though I do got it, I don't have
like,
it.
You know, like, I enabled him once before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I paid for a whole abortion.
Oof.
And that shit hurt me.
Was it twins?
I don't know. Double homicide? No, but like, it was like, bro, like, if you're going to make these, take these risks, because sometimes they, you got to let somebody fall.
Right.
Like, we not going to let each other fall, but like, we know when we fucking up that we got to fall because it's going to humble you. But not like, oh, man, I'm just going to hit up such and such. He always get me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hold on, let me get this one. Because even though I do get him, like, in a bunch, in a pinch, he always pays it back and more.
No, I get that.
I have no problem. Like,
no, no, but see, here's the thing. Him paying it back, sometimes you got to tell him, hey, bro, like, we don't even need to be in this situation because it's situations that could be avoided because his problem was always what? He wanted the quick buck.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quick buck, quick buck, quick buck. But it never worked out. He needed to learn the value of actually putting in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing he never really did. Like, to his credit, he always had a job. When he didn't have a job, he was looking. So he always made more. But he'll find a quick way to go do something and fuck that up. And then now he back to your door trying to get back on. And which is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's your prerogative to do what you want. But from my point of view, it's like, bro, like, you got to do better.
Right.
And, you know, stop trying to cheat the system because in any level of trying to be successful, it's work involved. You can't go from zero to $1 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to put in the work. And he wasn't always putting in the work. He jump into something, fuck it up, and then back to you. Because it wasn't just you. Rich did it too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I would do it. Stefan would be writing them, you know what I'm saying, little stuff to bail them out. We can't always bail. Sometimes you got to know when to not bail your boys out.
Right.
That's more so what I mean.
Okay.
Not always like, oh, man, you know, giving them. Man, money is money. Money comes and goes. You know, that money you gave him could have been bullshit you would have ate anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the lesson behind it because not everybody makes the right decisions and sometimes they have to learn that their decisions are the wrong decisions. You know what I'm saying?
But you had me. He was before I cut you off. You got ADHD me. Right there.
He got eight.
It's gone. I don't got the H. I'm not hyperactive.
Yes, you are.
Fucking bitch.
Oh, the playoffs.
Who's gonna win? The playing games.
So, what I want to happen is that for the Washington Wizards, I want us to lose to Boston.
So that's it. They're done, right?
No,
they're in the eighth.
No, we're the eighth. So I need us to lose to Boston and then win the game to stay the eighth seed, so that we get Philadelphia in the first round.
It's a better matchup.
Yeah, instead of. Wait.
I thought if you lose one game, that's it.
No. That's
7-8 play, 9-10 play. Then if whoever loses a 7-8 game has to play the 9-10 winner.
And then they become the 8 seed.
Yeah, if they lose. Yeah.
Okay.
So if we play against Boston first, if we beat Boston with a 7 seed.
That's not good.
That's playing.
That's an L.
that's playing against Brooklyn.
Actually, I would enjoy the Brooklyn series. Just
I mean, we did.
Four straight losses? Come on, man.
I mean, you never know.
Man, Westbrook is liable to just take over a game.
And it's against KD and Harden over there.
Exactly.
He might score 100. He might not even go for no triple doubles. He's just getting all buckets.
Facts.
Like, good. But I feel like the West is going to be a little more entertaining because you get
Golden State in LA.
Yeah, Golden State, LA.
So if LA loses, they're done.
No, if LA loses, they have to play for the eighth seed.
Yeah.
And if they lose that, then they're done.
Oh, so you get two losses.
Yeah.
If you're the seventh or eighth seed, you get two losses.
But if you're the ninth or tenth, you just
but
one.
If you yeah, you're ninth, tenth, you're on
the you know what would be hilarious? If they lose and don't make the playoffs, I bet we'd never see a playing tournament again.
Bet not.
I mean,
yeah,
they're already saying that they like shouldn't do it no more.
No.
No, LeBron was saying that.
No. Shaq, I mean, like Shaq said it too, because they're saying like because of the shortened season and then because of COVID and stuff like that.
There was a shortened season 10 years ago with the lockout.
Honestly, though,
that's totally different. It wasn't because of a pandemic.
No,
it
was because of a lockout. Stop. If their teams that they like wasn't in the playing tournament, they wouldn't say shit.
I mean,
the only reason they even talking about it is like LeBron didn't say shit at the beginning last year. Literally last season, he was like, you know, all these teams are closed. They should play it out.
Because of the fact that the season was cut short in the middle of the season.
But the shit is the same now. These teams are close.
So
he just happened to be in that position.
That's true, but
I mean, look at hold on. The Mavs said the same thing when they're in the seventh spot. They moved up to the sixth, didn't say shit else.
I mean, that's true. But what I'm saying is, when it comes down to it, like, I lost it. Fuck.
You gotta stop doing drugs.
But no. All right, so, like, they the way that they do the regular season schedule is the reason why they shouldn't have, like, they don't have the play-in games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, teams that are in your, that's in your division, y'all have a regular season series, and teams outside of your division, y'all still have like the regular season series, so that when it comes down to the end of the year, like,
but
if y'all have the same record, y'all have like the tiebreaker.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's teams like that been in, like the Wizards. In any other season, the Wizards probably wouldn't have made the playoffs because they would have just started tanking because of all that COVID stuff, all the people they lost, all the injuries and stuff like that. They probably would have been like after the All-Star break, fuck it, shut it down.
Right.
But, like, it's more – like, literally there's only four teams that were really out of it all season.
So, all right, and yeah, I get that.
They all played – like, but listen, the competition and the games, like, usually at the end of the season, the games suck because – you could tell teams resting guys because they ready for the all season, but everybody was playing and it was really good games at the end of the season. Whereas last, like seasons before, you'd be like, God, man, I can't wait to the playoffs because this shit is terrible. So it actually was better than you just. I like the fact that teams were actually trying to win instead of teams just like fuck it, giving up. Like imagine if Chicago wasn't in the running for the play-in, they would have just started tanking and losing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I get that part, but what I would say is the difference is, let's say it's one of the years like back in the 90s where the eighth seed and the ninth seed is separated by like five games.
Mm-hmm. Then you don't
like
have
that.
It.
Yeah, so it's like,
I mean, but see, they didn't have a playing game last in the bubble for the Eastern Conference because it wasn't close, but they had a play. No, they didn't.
It was only
the Blazers.
Oh yeah, no. Well, they didn't have because the Wizards didn't come close.
No, yeah, but see,
the Wizards were the only team,
but if,
in the East that made it to that were going to have the opportunity for a play game.
But see, what I'm saying, like, you can still do that. Like, okay, if you're not within range, then there's no point. Then you're not going to be in the playing game. But like you had Minnesota and Denver. No, was it Minnesota and Utah?
I think so.
The year that Minnesota made the playoffs, they literally played the last game to get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's a playing game. So why not have them have it like
that?
That
goes back to what I was saying about the regular season series.
No, like I get it. That's the whole point. But I'm saying like, why not? Like if it's warranted and have it. It shouldn't be like, oh man, these dudes are 10 games under 500 and they're 5 games out. Then you don't do it. Yeah, but if it's close, it's going to be years where it's close. It's going to be years when it's not close.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but like injuries are a part of the sport. So that doesn't really matter. And I get what you're saying about like the tanking and the entertainment value of it. But at the end of the day, like, they're doing it because of the whole like health risk of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an outside factor that was shutting a lot of things down because like we kind of talked about in a group chat, how the Wizards were missing multiple players from the starting lineup and the bench. Like there were games where they only played with like 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's been years where good players get hurt. Like, yeah, Paul George got hurt when he broke his leg.
But that's
he came back towards the end of the season. Imagine if they would have been like, Paul George will be back in like March. Stay close. Because if he comes back and he can come back and be good, that gives the opportunity to go in the playoffs.
That's not necessarily a good thing along the lines of people may rush back from injury.
No, but I'm talking about like, you know, like if it's like something that happened with Clay, then you'd be like, nah, we'll do our best, but we're not expecting Clay to come back. But like LaMelo broke his wrist. And they were, luckily they were in the playoffs, but imagine if they were a bubble team. You'd be like, you know what? What's his timeline? Oh, he's like 2 months and there's like 5 months left in the season. Stay close. And then we'll see if we push. If we can get close to the play-in, then we're good. And if he can come back. But if he can't, then we just shut it down. But like, I just like to see good basketball. There's too many, like it's been the last few years, there's too many fucking bad games in the NBA. With all the momentum that they've been building with the how the game has changed and all that stuff, they fucked themselves because they have so many bad games at the end of the season when there's no other sports really on. Because who the fuck is watching baseball? Who the fuck is watching hockey? It'd be them against everybody else. Mm-hmm. And they just be giving you duds and duds and duds. This is the best games I've seen like towards the end of the season NBA in years.
I mean, that could be true. But I feel like that's more so on like the scheduling in of things.
Yeah.
And also that's Greg Popovich's fault.
Bro, he was winning when he was sitting his guys. He had sit his guys and still win. These dudes just sit, like Al Horford hasn't played in 2 months. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's like 20, ain't played in like a month.
I mean,
what's he got to play for other than stats?
No, but I'm talking about like, but we're talking about if you don't bring up Greg Popovich, he literally would sit his guys and still win games and still be competitive. He's just sitting guys to not. Ain't this a bitch? This nigga done fuck the podcast. Right. He want motherfucking play Warzone. Loud as shit with the chair. What the hell happened? We get it. One technical difficulty. This nigga can't get away from the video game trying.
So it's only been one technical difficulty?
That they know of, shit. But nah. MVP, what we was talking about?
Jokic.
So, yeah. Well, what I was saying as towards you mentioning Chris Paul should win, I'm like, they may give it to him because he's getting older. You don't know how many more like heightened seasons he's going to have, and he deserves to win an MVP. Like, there's certain people who they kind of feel like they deserve to win an MVP.
Too bad he's about to lose in the first round of the playoffs when he plays the Lakers.
Facts.
It's going to hurt his case.
So, what about Giannis?
I mean, honestly.
He already, ain't he back-to-back?
Back-to-back.
Oh, yeah, he
he's that. Having the same year.
Yeah, he's legit literally having the same year.
And it's just because.
He shouldn't have gotten back-to-back.
Why shouldn't he? We're not going to do this.
All right. And he's against the same team that took him out last year.
Yeah, he's going to dog him this time.
You sure?
They haven't been healthy all year. Miami.
Oh, they do have Drew Holiday. I forgot.
And they've been playing the fuck out of Iguodala. Yeah. He's playing like 45 minutes a game.
They lost Oladipo.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And Dragic hasn't been as good this year as he was last year.
So it's five games, six?
It's six, probably. They're not going to go out without a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think he deserves it, though.
Who?
Giannis?
Yeah.
I think he did. He's played he's getting better every year. He's got better help because the problem was their point guard was always trash. Bledsoe never played good when this shit mattered.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get that. But, like, now I'm starting to, like, I'm just, like, you want me to put it on wax, I'm going to give him his props. he's still not all that, but I'm just glad to see that he's working on improving his game, expanding his game. Like, he's starting to, like, shoot his jumpers with confidence and things like that.
From what I've seen, he still hasn't. He's still going just go to the rack.
But no, it's certain games versus like certain teams
that the teams that let him shoot, he shoots.
Yeah, he'll shoot. Okay. Like when they play back on him and like they try to like force him to shoot, he'll take the shot.
Right.
But I think his the biggest issue with him was is how the coach uses you sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you gotta use them against like what they do best. Sometimes you gotta coach them a different way, mm-hmm. push them a different way, and he never really got that. Like Budenholzer just kind of like, okay, do what you do,
yeah.
And everybody will stand in the corners,
right?
You know?
Which doesn't work in the playoffs.
No, hell no, like, because you gotta have something different,
right?
Yeah.
And but he tried that with the Hawks.
Could like the heavy
five, 6
feet.
Years ago? Got their ass swept when they won 60 games too.
Yeah, because then he doesn't play his guys enough minutes. This year he's played Giannis more minutes though.
Mm.
I think he's having like 35 minutes a game. At first he was like he get a 32 minutes and that's it. In the playoffs that's what he was doing. And you know Giannis ain't from here, so he doesn't understand that. Yeah, you need to play like 40 minutes a game in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. All the minutes. Don't sit down if you don't need to.
Yeah. He's still like young as shit. Like 25 now.
Yeah, like 26, I think.
Yeah, so he still got time, but he keep working on that jump shot. You know. I think where he where he made his mistake though, honestly,
was getting too big.
Yeah, it's like he kind of has the like the Dwight Howard syndrome, where it's like
too
your
swole.
Shoulders are too big, yeah. And man, when you go to shoot,
but it looked like he just grew into that body. Like I don't think, muscle wise, that was. I think he was going because he had wide shoulders anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was naturally going to grow into that body. Now, did he have touch before? He probably didn't. That's probably why he struggles with the jump shot.
See, but I actually seen it was actually a video that they put out, and it had the stats that he used to be like a high 30% 3-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Like they used to actually like they was trying to use him kind of like a Klay Thompson almost. Like mm-hmm. he was coming around screens, running the baseline, curling, catching and shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he just brick house, but
as his game expanded, it's like that's what happens.
Yeah, but like I said, I feel like he should have worked on getting stronger and not necessarily swoller.
But he's not that big. He looks big, but he's not that big. That motherfucker is probably 230 pounds, 240 pounds.
Yeah, it's like
he's
him
7
like,
feet.
They always talk about it because like him and Kevin Durant are only like 5 pounds apart or whatever.
And but, look how Kevin Durant looked.
Yeah, but like I feel like he worked on his arms too much because he don't have no legs.
Yeah, leg, you know, when you work on your legs, they really never get swole. They usually slim,
mm-hmm.
but
toned.
I think he got too swole, and now his like shot mechanics are a little adjusted.
I just think they didn't have a good shot coach.
That
like,
too.
Say he would have been to San Antonio, he'd be able to shoot because they had like the best shooting coach in the league.
Mm.
And then the celebrity shooting coach is now a celebrity shooting coach.
Yeah.
Like he don't even work with, I barely see him working with NBA players anymore.
It's all clients now, just celebrities and shit.
That's trash. Who's the coach of the year?
Who's the coach of the Suns?
Monty Williams.
That's all I'm going.
It's not Steve Nash.
Hmm.
Like he's played like 28 players.
And they are number two.
Yeah. Or Utah.
The only reason why I have a difficult time giving it to Steve Nash is
me not really coaching.
Yeah. It's like you have players that you don't really need to coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
but he hasn't had them all at all. Like they only play like 184 minutes together.
Okay, but what I'm saying, but so when I say you have players that you don't need to coach, I feel like Kevin Durant is enough of a leader, and James Harden is enough of a leader that they get the people in the places that they need to be. And then once they started getting like Blake Griffin and shit like that, it's like.
Yeah, but
you don't really like these are people that you don't really need to.
Yeah, but
and nowadays,
how long has Blake Griffin been on the team? Like 2 months.
Yeah,
they were in first place before they got Blake Griffin. And like I'm just saying
like I said, I mean like the way that
KD played what 32 games, James Harden played like 32 games, Kyrie's played the most games out of all of them. and he walked off twice.
Okay, but so that's another reason why he shouldn't win Coach of the Year. Like, you can't even
control your players.
It's not up to him. You know, I mean, it's like this. So, Kyrie is Kyrie, and that's how he is everywhere. Everywhere he's been, that's how he's been. So it's not like one coach. He's played for different types of coaches, and he's been the same way with all the coaches. Like, the nigga walked off on Boston. He fucking quit on Cleveland. Like, that's what he is. But for you to – you got to – like, the sign of a good coach is sustaining whether – despite what's going on with the team. Your three best players have not played together, and you're still winning.
I mean, because of the fact that, like, your three best players don't need to be on the same team.
Okay, so what?
So but that's why
if they're not on the court, that means the team is less, right or wrong? Because they don't have the depth.
But honestly, it's actually – I feel like it's good – for them because they do have the depth, and I feel like it's good for them because everybody was always saying, well, it's not going to be enough basketballs to go around. So I mean, it may hinder them in the playoffs, but at this point, like, they've all had their own peripheral individual times to shine.
What do you think,
throughout the season?
I don't really care for Steve Nash since he took one from Kobe, so no, I'm not voting for him.
Damn.
But no, I mean, Jesus. I just feel like he doesn't have to.
You still have to coach.
I mean, you do.
You still have to coach. Come on. Let's not discount how hard it is to do that, because you still have to manage these personalities. Like, you, it's not like he had an easy job, because you got to make sure James Harden not in the strip club every night. You got to make sure KD ain't mad at you because you said that he didn't work hard enough or he didn't shoot enough or whatever. Then you got to make sure Kyrie ain't fucking talking about the moon and the stars.
The only thing
that could mess a team up.
I mean, the only thing that he stopped from happening was James Harden not going to strip clubs.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
KD was still getting in Twitter rants and getting caught up with his secondary pages.
Stuff like that could distract the team and actually mess the team up. He done kept them guys focused.
I guess.
Shit. Okay, imagine that shit with KD happened in OKC. It would have fucked the team up. If it would have happened in Washington, it would have fucked the team up because it's a distraction. They still going, they still winning. Like, that's a testament to the coach.
Like, I feel like it's not really that much of a distraction, because when a lot of these things were happening, they're not playing. So it's like, you don't have to, like, when Kevin Durant went through what he went through, he didn't have to address the media. Kyrie wasn't addressing the media, which made, like, that situation what it was. But I don't know. I would say it's between Monty Williams and
what about Doc?
Was he first place, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's got Embiid playing the best basketball in his life.
I was going to get there.
No, you wasn't. You still about to bash Steve Nash on everything. You hate Nash, nigga.
I was done bashing Steve Nash.
Oh, you was bashing him?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What? Nothing. what about Doc?
I mean. But, you know, honestly, this year, I haven't really watched a lot of basketball.
Same.
So it's kind of like.
Basketball niggas. And I know. Ain't watching basketball. I don't watch more basketball than the basketball niggas.
Because, like,
he fired all y'all.
No.
Okay, Joe, like, Budden.
If football was to start changing in a way that you didn't like, I don't, like, it gets a little more difficult to watch on a regular basis.
But I don't watch football for the same reason other people watch football.
I mean, I'm going off his point. He's saying, like, because football has changed, for me, that's when I've been stopped, because it started with, you know, how the Redskins treated RG3. Like, all right, cool. Like, and then they just changed the penalties. Like, oh, you can't dance and all that.
They have a end zone celebration camera now.
Yeah, see? I don't even know about that.
But they had. But
they already done broke my man Ocho Cinco pockets.
Facts. Right. But see, they
he paid for those cameras.
The NBA, the NFL has transitioned. They actually started to realize what they were doing, and that's why things have changed. I'm sorry for Ocho, because they shouldn't have fined him and all that stuff. I agree. But they had to realize that you're going to lose fans because you're alienating the part of the game the fans like. For me, I don't really give a damn about no damn celebrations. I watch it because I'm trying to I like to figure out what's going on. I like to figure out what they're trying to do. I like to do all that little small stuff.
So, all right. This is what I'll
hand like he was afraid.
Yeah. Because like this is what I say, because we kind of had these conversations before. You would say like that's not football. So, right now for me, the way that they allow people to play basketball, it's almost just like I might as well go to the local LA Fitness and watch pickup games.
Yeah.
So, like for you, like if football was to become more like 7-on-7, after a while, you'll lose the like.
No.
You would.
I.
Because you've already said that, like,
yeah.
Like because like them wanting to make it like I said, 7-on-7 is faster pace. So if they was to get rid of the line of scrimmage, I mean like the defensive line, the offensive line, for real. Like it'll get to the point where you really wouldn't want to watch it.
No, mm-hmm. I mean, but I do 7-on-7. So,
but not as the main thing.
Yeah, but it's still going to be something to do.
So if
that's a whole different sport, though. If they go to that, then it's not NFL. NFL will never go away from that because
I mean, no, I get the what you're traditionalist saying, but it's like,
football fans. Like it's certain things.
So like for me, watching that exactly. So what you said. So like for me right now, when I watch a basketball game, it's like, all right, that's a carry. That's an illegal screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's an illegal screen. Mm-hmm. That's a travel. That's this. That's that. Like so. Like when you're watching it, it's almost like they blame a lot of it on the players. But it's hard to have that competitiveness when, in all actuality, you can't really stop nobody.
No,
because they let them set all types of moving screens and
traveling.
Like they travel, and then when it comes to players like Giannis and Ben Simmons and things like that, like they just let them bulldoze everybody. So it's just like it gets to the point where them making it harder for the defense to make it a faster, higher scoring game is making it less entertaining.
I agree with that, but this is the difference between NFL and NBA. The guys, like, they NFL never strays too far away from the core of the game. They change rules. They do little stuff here. Like, they can talk about, they change rules for defense. Then defense always adjusts to be able to stop whatever the new rules are. NBA, they don't do that. They don't do anything to help defense out at all.
Exactly.
NFL, always, so, the coaches are always good enough for them to get to a point where they can say, okay, they're doing this, so this is what we're going to do. Like, when teams started running zone read, what did they do? Hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
And what the league start doing? Fuck that, we're not running zone read anymore, because look what happened to RG3. Look what happened to Michael Vick or whoever the hell was running the zone read. The shit just went away.
I mean, yeah, you know I get saying? That. But that's what I'm saying. So, like, now with the ability of the players to shoot 30 and 40-foot jumpers, and then you also add the fact that you could set an illegal screen, like, it's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
That comes down to coaching. Because if you're a good coach, you find a way. I fundamentally believe it. Do I coach basketball? No, I do not. But in terms of just like when a game adjusts, you need to adjust the way you coach. The problem is NBA coaches don't give a fuck about defense, and that's why the defense is suffering. The good, like Thibodeau is a defensive coach, and that's why he's got the Knicks in the playoffs, because he's coaching his fucking ass off on defense. He's making it hard for everybody, and you have to work for everything. Other coaches are like, we're just going to score more points. That's not the answer.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, like, it's hard to say that he's like, yeah, he's coaching defense, but at the same time, you still, like, when you win a game, it's 135 to 115.
Ain't all their games. I feel like the games are a little tighter. Don't watch all the next games. But like
the games, the games are tighter, but they're still like.
But even
if you like every team, like when you see a score nowadays, and it's like the ending score the team has like 90 some points. It's like, wow. And then a lot of times too, because they're just relying so much on shooting, that's like if the team is just having a bad shooting night, you don't even really have to play good defense. Who,
the Lakers won the title last year. What was the defensive rating?
They was in the top five.
But I'm
well, like, why? Because the coach adjusted.
No, he
did credit. Exactly what the fuck you're supposed to do. He played. He made.
Let me cut you off right there because they had Frank Vogel before AD, and they was nowhere near as good on defense.
No. He does like. This is what Bill Belichick does.
Okay,
and this is what they did. Okay, hold on. Let me finish my point before you cut me off. He made teams have to play left-handed. You only have one big on your team. I'm gonna play two bigs, and you gotta fucking stop that. You gotta score on that. We're gonna play defense to funnel it to a certain part of the court that we want you to go to. That's good coaching, right or wrong? But you gotta have the horses too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. They had all of those players other than AD. Like they had JaVale before that.
No,
they didn't.
They didn't have JaVale. They didn't have Dwight Howard. They didn't have AD.
No. They went and got big players because everybody was small. But, so what you do, when everybody's doing the same thing, even you do something different to make them have to work harder.
But the only thing that I'm saying that goes towards that is you're going to get credit for like a defensive ranking just based off of like the production of the other team.
But defense, that goes hand in hand with the defense. Does it not?
Not necessarily.
They lost how many games in the playoffs that year? They won. They lost one game in the first round, right?
Mm-hmm.
They swept. They lost one game in the second round and swept. And went to game six with the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened? Fucking Jokic couldn't do shit against the big guys because whether it was Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee, he had to fucking fight the whole time. Where when he was playing against Utah or whatever, Gobert ain't coming out of 10 feet. And he can do whatever he want on Gobert. You feel me? Like, what do you do to – if everybody's doing this, you do the counter because they don't know how to fucking adjust to that. That's how you win championships. I don't give a fuck how many points a team can score. If I play this style, it's like when you – it was like in college football – when everybody's running spread and you play Navy and they run fucking wishbone. You got to fucking change everything for that one team because it's hard to fucking defend that one team.
But also, you still got to have the players. Like,
I agree.
AD is a big difference. That's why they won. Yeah. As soon as they got him.
I agree.
Like,
I would say that.
I totally agree, but they still put him in positions to fucking succeed. And defensively, AD wasn't just fucking like he was checking the guys in the anchor. Yeah, he's different on defense. Mm-hmm. But Dwight and JaVale made a big ass difference for him.
Right.
Cause no team, you wasn't getting no rebounds and the fuck you wasn't getting an easy shot on the rim.
But that's what I was saying. Like that's not, I don't consider that defense.
What is it?
It's missed opportunities on the offensive end. Like they just getting rebounds.
If you not getting an easy shot at the rim,
that's just like the same,
that not defense?
I'm just saying like that's just like the same time like the year that they gave Andre Iguodala, the MVP in the finals and said that he was stopping LeBron when in all actuality LeBron was all damn near averaging 40 points and on top of that nobody else was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you really look at it, Andre Iguodala was getting help from Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green. And they had Meathead. What's his name? It starts with a P, I think. Pachulia.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not
so
talking
just
about
like
that,
I mean, I'm just saying like it's certain things like that where it's like when it comes to.
But when you got a guy at that level, it's not how many points he scores. When did you stop him?
I guess.
Right, because you knew Iverson was gonna give you fucking 35, but if he scores fucking 6 points in the fourth quarter when the game matters, that's good defense. Because it's hard to play sustained defense in the NBA longer, right or wrong, because it's four quarters.
So like people are going to get theirs. Like the only teams that had the offensive power to do something with the Lakers last year are the ones that they struggled with.
Yeah, and they still beat them.
Yeah, but that's because they was like overpowering on offense.
But they was also overpowered on defense. Like, what is the NBA now? Shoot threes and get to the rim. If you take away getting to the rim and they have to shoot more threes, they're going to shoot a lower percentage because they can't get to the fucking rim. That's making them play left-handed. Right or wrong?
I mean, that's true.
That's all I'm saying. Like, if you can't get the easy layup because every time you go in there, you're going to get knocked down or you're going to get shot blocked. That discourages you from doing the one thing that the analytics say that's one of the best shots.
But that's why I say, like, that's a lack of, like, that's where the
coaching.
Just, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, as far as the entertainment value of the NBA is down, because if they were to, like, this is why older people always be like, if Michael Jordan played nowadays, he'll get like 60.
Yep.
Because, like, these people, like, the people who are prolific on offense are afraid to take mid-range shots.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these people now, it's either I'm going to shoot a three or got to get to the basket.
But here's the difference. When these new guys, when they can't get to the rim or can't score, they stop going. A guy like Jordan would still go to the rim and make referees call fouls or either, you know what I'm saying, he'll wear down the motherfucking big man, because what big man, I don't give a fuck how tough you think you are. If a motherfucker keep coming into your chest at the rim, at some point you're going to be like, I don't want to go up no more. And Jordan is wired to take you out of your, toughness.
I get that part, but like I said, like, I feel like I'll give him some credit for that, just getting the pieces. But it was more so because of the fact that, like, how many times now, like I said, you'll see somebody, perfect example, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times they miss like 20 some consecutive three pointers, mm-hmm. but they just keep shooting them. Instead of just taking that mid range shot, get your rhythm, then work your way back out.
That goes back to coaching.
But like I said, just for me, like, the entertainment value of the NBA has decreased a lot.
That's why, like, you need to come back to football. That's why you need to come back to football, Gil.
I'm good.
Nigga, please. You would love football now. He don't know what he's missing.
I don't be caring for a lot of stuff. When it comes, like I said, like, the entertainment value to, for me right now, it's like, it's really missing.
That's why you need to watch college more.
College is worse. I try.
I think it's better. It depends on who you watch.
You talking about football or basketball?
Basketball.
Hell no.
No.
College football is fantastic.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. But college basketball is even worse.
I quite enjoy it, depending on who plays. As long as I don't watch Maryland, because Maryland pisses me off with the
work. Because they don't even, coach. Like, like I said, like, it's lit. For me now, college, I just see it as, you know, you already know the kids are one and done. So,
but that's because you see those certain games, it's just them,
like,
though.
They just, like, certain teams just be so overpowering.
But you don't watch them. You got to watch the mid-majors where the guys are going to, like, literally play for 4 years.
They don't put them on TV like that.
That's not true. They're in the middle of the week.
I be doing shit in the middle.
But you ain't doing nothing now.
Okay, I'm not doing nothing now. But,
All right, so who got a question to close us out?
I mean, that was the question, but
that was?
Yeah.
It was just a touchy subject that leads on. You know how things can go.
Yeah.
Because
y'all don't listen. I be knowing what I'm talking about. Some of these people getting too much credit that they don't deserve. Fuck them.
Yeah, off of that. Until next time, we out.
'Minority Minds' is brought to you in part by First Class Auto Care.
Minority Minds Podcast.